Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My next guest, Joni Griffith, just finished riding her bicycle from South Carolina to California, much of that journey entirely on her own. Griffith grew up in Cedar Falls, but now lives in Minneapolis and posted about the completion of her journey on her Instagram account, Jones the Grip Hook, on April 12th, saying this: miles, 3,180, time, 76 days, states traveled 10, days off, probably 7-ish, number of dogs chased by, too many, number of amazing humans met, just the right amount, best part, the whole thing. And Joni is on the line with me now. Hello, Joni.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being here, and congratulations. So I have to ask you the question that everybody else asked you the entire journey, which is, why did you decide to do this? Can you take me back to where the idea came from?
Sure. And it's funny that you say that because, yes, I did get asked that a lot. And that was actually one of the questions that I had the hardest time answering whenever people asked. I think that my reasons changed over the course of the trip. Initially, it just started out as kind of this desire for discomfort, I guess. I've always loved bikes, and for years I'd wanted to do some sort of bike travel, but there's never enough time, there's never enough money, blah, blah, blah. And eventually I just realized, okay, you know, this is something that feels scary in a good way, and you can either think about doing this your whole life, or you can actually go do it. And I had no context for the Southern United States. It was just, you know, stories and stereotypes. And I really wanted to just get out there and see what the world, see what the people really were.
Well, it's a really difficult thing to just take 3 months out of your life. You mentioned not enough time, not enough money. I think that that's definitely something that stands in the way for a lot of people. How did you take 3 months out of your life to be able to do this?
Sure. I took a big risk. I took a big leap. So in the Minneapolis area, I am a musician and performer, and then have been supplementing that through various forms of day jobs. So not having a full-time salaried position is a lot easier to quit. But I did have to just make the commitment that I had this weird little chunk of time. I hadn't scheduled myself out for anything, and I knew I could fill it, but I also knew maybe this was the time to take it. So I took a big risk and I quit all of my stable income jobs, and I moved out of where I was living and lived on my bike for 3 months instead.
Wow. And you talked about driving or riding your bike across the South and part of the country that you weren't familiar with. I have to think weather was a part of that consideration.
Yeah, definitely. When it is winter, it's sort of the only reasonable place to bike in the middle of the winter. Certainly not in the Midwest, and definitely not in the upper North. So it provided a rather serendipitous location.
When you set out on this journey, what kind of supplies did you take with you, knowing that you would be traveling mostly alone? Were you prepared to camp along the way? Was that the plan?
Yeah, so I didn't have a huge fund stash for this. I just had the money that I had saved from working for all these years. And that's something really cool about bike touring is I've seen people do it in all sorts of different income levels. But yes, I did plan to camp basically the entire time. So I was completely self-sufficient in that I could carry my place to sleep, I could carry my water, my food, and any sort of troubleshooting items that I might need to run into, like flat tires or whatnot.
As you were finding places to stay, this is part of your Instagram story as well. You have the scariest place I slept was a public restroom, strangest place I slept, middle school boys baseball team van. Now, first of all, I want to know, how did you wind up in a van?
Sure. Well, there were many evenings where I just knew I was going to get to a town, and they were smaller towns, so, you know, there's no campgrounds around, there's nothing like that. So I would just roll into town, cross my fingers, and put out my best energy and try and find a place to sleep. So one of the places I ended up, through kind of a roundabout system, I came in contact with the coach for the middle school boys baseball team in a small town in Georgia. And originally he was just going to let me camp in the baseball field. But then, you know, it's very cold when it's 33 degrees in Georgia. So they were very concerned about my well-being, which was very sweet of them. And he ended up just saying, well, you know, like, it's going to be so cold if you want. I know this sounds weird, but you could just, you know, sleep in the van. We got these long seats. You could lock the door. And that's what I ended up doing. It was lovely.
How old are you, Joni?
I am 25.
All right. So you're 25 years old, a young woman traveling mostly alone on this journey. Did you feel vulnerable?
You know, I did, but it was a completely different experience than everyone continually led me to believe. I always consistently would run across people that were really concerned, trying to tell me it was a bad idea, or that there's all of these, you know, terrors in the world that would specifically target me as like a young, small female. And I did not find that to be the case at all. I think, yes, you have to be safe, and I did feel vulnerable, but at the same time, it turned into sort of a strange superpower where I found that people would kind of go out of their way more to help you because they saw you as like, oh, I see like my daughter, like I see my granddaughter, I see someone that I want to protect, which, you know, is definitely a privilege that I had on this trip and would not be the experience the same, you know, in a different body.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You posted about some of the people that you encountered, because living on a bicycle, figuring out where to sleep every night, preparing food on the fly, that kind of thing, puts you in a situation that a lot of people live in. You chose to put yourself in this vulnerable situation, but there are many people in the United States that are living the same way, not by choice, because they can't afford a place to live or something else has caused them to be homeless. What were your thoughts when you were encountering these people? You were living much as they lived, but in a very different way.
Yeah, that was something that I grappled with a lot. I felt it was really interesting, almost as if because I had chosen this, it became this weird type of glorified homelessness where, you know, when I told people, as you know, this is my a temporary lifestyle, it became something daring and spontaneous, and people would always use the word freedom. But then, you know, people, we, myself included, sometimes have developed this immunity to see that, you know, humanity in people that are on the streets, and just wondering, you know, where does the stigma come from? What am I doing to actively break it? It was definitely a lot easier being in the position I was because it's so much easier to talk with people that you just run into versus, you know, I didn't have a specific like point A to point B. I'm going from my house to the store and I can ignore everyone in between, or I'm getting in my car and driving from here to there. It was a lot easier to talk with people who were experiencing homelessness, or, you know, at least acknowledge their existence, which I definitely see not happening a lot of the time.
What did you learn about people who are living in those conditions that surprised you?
I mean, they're people. That's the, you know, the number one thing. It's not, I don't know. I think that, you know, people will say, oh no, be careful. There are some scary people that are homeless. And while that could be true, there are also some very scary people who are living in houses, possibly very expensive houses. And I think just the connection, that's another thing that really was a big standout for me, is that people are really desperate for human connection. And when you make a connection with someone, suddenly the ability to empathize or to see them for who they are, for their humanity, for their flaws, whatnot, becomes a lot easier. And, you know, there's some funny, wonderful, kind people out there that may also be living on bikes or may just be living in a tent somewhere. And having the the chance to talk with some of them was really valuable for me, and I know that I'm carrying that forward into my life in the future.
Was there a point during this journey, I mean, 76 days, was there a point at which you almost gave up?
There were some days that were incredibly hard. I did not anticipate the wind being one of my absolute number one enemies, you could say, although
it
I tried not to think about that.
It mostly comes out of the west, right? I mean, you were riding into the wind almost the whole way.
It sure does. And then I turned north when I got to LA and biked up to Berkeley. And that also, I was going the wrong direction. And so, yeah, there were some days where it was just, I was alone. I was in the desert. I was riding on some of the most insanely just depleted roads possible, and the wind just refused to let me go. Psychologically, pedaling full force downhill is just one of the most saddest things I have ever encountered. So, but at the same time, I couldn't believe how lucky I was to even be in that position, to be miserable yet biking through this beautiful, like, springtime desert. I think that, yeah, even in the worst of times where I was starving, I didn't have a place to sleep, I was, you know, there's times when I was crying, it was still all just wrapped up in this, like, beautiful, like, just deep living. Like, I was just living so much, and I couldn't deny that and give up on that.
You're done now. What does that mean to you? I mean, you've had a little bit of time to let it sink in. What do you think you've accomplished?
Oh, gosh. That is a very hard thing to answer. It's hard to think about because it doesn't seem that crazy to me, because it was just my life. You know, I was just cycling and being outside and talking to people. And I think that I have definitely accomplished a greater sense of not only self-sufficiency, but the ability to ask for help when needed. I think that a really amazing thing that I've found in myself that I've also seen kind of spark in other people is just a kind of excitement or drive to make a leap or to just make a change, whatever it is, even if it's just a little baby thing to a big thing like biking across the United States. Just that I now am really excited to try things I've been too afraid to do in the past, and that, you know, just going for the crazy dream, even if it seems too out there, at least trying and doing it in like a playful, like, excited standpoint, I guess.
Well, a lot of people who take on big challenges like these end up getting a little addicted to it. Do you think that there are giant challenges like riding your bicycle across the United States in your future?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I guess I'm sort of already a little bit of an adrenaline junkie just based off of the nature of being a performance artist, but I am very excited to potentially do another bike tour in the future. But this one I would love to do all off-road, so like old fire roads and gravel, because as wonderful as it is to see the world by highways, it is not my favorite experience to be constantly bombarded by traffic noise. So that would be just super delightful, and the added challenge of having to pack all of your water and all of your food for potentially 7 or 5 days.
I'm sure your parents are delighted to hear that might be a future goal.
Oh, yes. This potentially could be the first time they're hearing it. Hello, parents.
So now that you're back to your life, do you feel like you're a different person? Do you feel like you were changed by this experience?
I feel like while I was in the experience, there was definitely a deep sense of, like, change and growth. And it always is harder when you come back to, you know, a very similar environment to not just slip back into your little, you know, pocket and little track that you were in. But I find that would be pretty impossible in this case. Yeah, coming back, it does seem like looking at things with new ideas, new eyes, and just a fresh sense of excitement, I think.
What do you think you learned about yourself?
I'm even more stubborn than I thought I was. And that I can manage that stubbornness and that I can give up. I think in the past I have had a hard time. Giving up is, you know, it has negative connotations, but I think in the past I've had a hard time allowing myself to fall short of what I thought was possible. And in this case, yes, you know, I did bike across the United States, but I also did it in a way that I wasn't killing myself for it. It was really hard, but I wasn't in this like crazy go, 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 go perfection mindset. It was more of a beautiful, like messy figuring it out every day. And I really love that. And I'm excited to embrace that a little more.
How did this change the way you think about your country, about the United States?
I was so in love with the people, honestly. Going to a portion of the country that I don't really know anything about other than, you know, maybe I know someone who goes to vacation in Florida or something. The people that I met, and I don't know if I was just lucky, I mean, or maybe I just was so off balance from all of the negative news that you hear coming in. Everywhere I went, people absolutely blew me away with the extreme kindness, compassion, and just generosity that I experienced was absolutely mind-blowing. If that isn't proof that there's some sort of magic in the world, I don't know what is. And I also that it, Texas is beautiful. Good job, Texas. I would have never guessed you were that beautiful.
Well, Joni Griffith, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Charity. I hope you have a lovely afternoon.
Joni Griffith just finished riding her bicycle from South Carolina to California, 3,180 miles. You can catch up on highlights from her journey on her Instagram account, Jones the Grip Hook. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Caitlin Harrop, Emily Woodbury, and Dennis Reese. You can follow us on Twitter at Iowa Public Radio. You can also subscribe to our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Search for Talk of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.